My name is Adam Bianco. I was here last year. Was anyone else here last year? Just a few. Did anyone hear my session last year? No one. Okay. I spoke actually about social media advertising last year. Now this year is just focused on Instagram in particular. So we're going to go through that over the next 30 minutes or so. First, I'll just give a brief background on Instagram and kind of how we got to this point so everyone's on the same page. Then we'll go through some master tips of what things are happening now, some basics, and then go through a few tools that'll help you get better at the craft. Now, because Instagram ads, and especially story ads, are so new, if you were here last year, you would have seen a lot of metrics, a lot of data behind it because it's been there. This presentation is just a little bit different where it focuses on what brands are doing, what the best practices. As you may have seen in other presentations, part of this is there aren't case studies just yet because, or not a lot of case studies, because people are just trying to figure out what the heck's going on, especially with stories over the past 6 months to a year and ads being on itself. So I'll give you a lot of what the best practices, not only SMBs, but as well as Fortune 500s. Now, before we get started, though, I'll ask you a little bit, who's actually from Chicago by a show of hands? Okay, quite a bit. Who's more in the SMB space? Raise your hand, small, medium-sized business. Anyone, any Fortune 500s in here in larger brands? So a little mixture of each, great. My background, so as Ryan said, my background is a digital marketer. I recently relaunched my consulting and contracting work called Front Row Interactive. But I have, feel free to connect with me on the left-hand side, as well as my right-hand side of a few side projects, which one started back in college at Ohio State, and I have the world's largest Ohio State football Twitter account. It's a big day for the Buckeyes, the NFL drafts tonight, and the Avengers, so it's a really exciting night. Besides that, though, I actually recently started, there's only two pictures, recently started a new Instagram account. I just got a fancy camera for Christmas, my very first one, so I'm trying to figure it out. So if you want to see me figure out how to take photography and see pictures of my Husky, take a look at Huskies and Highways. That said, if you would like the slides and like to learn more about it, go to frontrowinteractive.com/Instagram ads or Instagram dash ads. All right, enough of the PSA. All right, so let's get started with Instagram. We'll kind of breeze through this first section a little bit. Instagram came about in 2010, a few years after kind of the first wave of Facebook and Twitter and right before Snapchat. And since then, it's been very, very busy. Winning app of the year, being bought by Facebook, launching Instagram stories, the algorithm, et cetera. So many different developments over the past several years. And of course, they sold to Facebook, as we just mentioned, for $1 billion. Just put that in perspective, just a few years prior, the original Instagram didn't get as quite of a big of a payout, and now I think Flickr just got sold again. Did anyone use Flickr? No, exactly. Instagram and Facebook were doing very, very well up until just maybe about a month ago. As owner of a few shares, I was a very happy stockholder. I wish I would have bought it at the $18, but it wasn't that smart. Anyway. As another history lesson, the first ever post on Instagram and Twitter were the founders' dogs. So this is, you can still follow Kevin and Dolly to this day. Now, what makes Instagram unique versus some of the other platforms? And again, very high level, some of the basics at this point. A couple things to call out is that the algorithm did take place about a year ago, and that's changed quite a bit how the feed operates and even how stories operate. One of the big things brands don't like is that there's only one link for the most part. That has somewhat changed. We'll talk about more here in a few moments. But Instagram has never been a huge driver of traffic back to your site, unless you have a huge brand, because people aren't necessarily clicking in your bio and clicking on that link. It's very much a brand awareness platform. And it's not a naturally viral platform. Unlike Facebook and unlike Twitter, you can't retweet, you can't share something very easily. Up until just a few weeks ago, you had to take a screenshot, you had to regram it, use a third-party app to showcase it on your own feed. Now they've somewhat changed that a little bit in the process of changing that. And the big question over time was, does Instagram actually drive business? And for the most part, if you're looking at, is it selling product? Is it doing, actually driving, coming from the restaurant space a little bit, is it actually driving traffic inside the restaurant? And it was a giant question mark. It still is a little bit, but Instagram's putting a lot more metrics and tracking in place. Now, the filters, why it made it so popular. Does anyone know the most popular filter on Instagram besides normal? Valencia, that's one of the popular ones, good guess. Anyone else? X Pro, another super popular one. It's actually a trick question. There is no Google image with all the filters on there. Clarendon is the most popular one because it's the very first one next to normal. People slide over, they say, oh, that looks really artsy. I'll stop there. I don't need to go through all of them. And Instagram has grown a lot since its growth. And actually, it's been growing fairly exponentially, just crossing, I got to update this slide, just crossing the 800 million mark just a few months ago. And how that compares to the rest of the social networks, Facebook dominates at over 2 billion accounts. Instagram is just over 800,000. LinkedIn is not too far behind. But if you take a look at the top two, they're owned by each other. This fun fact, number one, which kind of amazed me as I put this slide together. One in every 5 minutes spent on mobile is spent on either Facebook or Instagram, which is crazy. And as I put this slide together last year, it kind of shocked me and shows how Instagram has changed from 2015, where, as you might expect, and what you thought of Instagram originally, was it's a very young platform. But what happens is that the young people get on it, then the parents get on it to figure out what the young people are doing. I still think one of my greatest achievements is that my mom bugs the heck out of me on Facebook, but she signed up for Instagram 2 years ago and she still has not liked a photo. And I'm very proud of that. You see some of the sister apps there. Fun fact number two, 60% of Instagram users say they learn about products and services through Instagram. Now this is Instagram saying this, so you have to take it a little bit with a grain of salt. But Instagram's showing again the value back to the business and ads are becoming a bigger part of that. Number three, 75% of users take actions such as visiting sites, searching, or telling a friend after seeing an Instagram post. Again, bringing value back to the brands, both on the ads and just the regular organic feed. And fun fact number four, 2.8 times the ad recall versus Nielsen and the norms of online advertising. Again, Instagram's saying this, so I'm sure they're tooting their horn a little bit and they may skew the metrics one way or the other, but they're saying that Instagram is ad recall is much higher than kind of normal online advertising. But Facebook and Instagram have been changing. Facebook earlier this year completely adapted how they're changing their feed and are shrinking 20% initially of the organic feed of publishers. So if you are, I don't know if anyone works at BuzzFeed or Huffington Post or large content publishers, they're starting to decrease the traffic back to those publishers. And Instagram's doing roughly the same thing. 70% of your content is not reaching your followers. Now they blame it on the fact that there's so much more content being produced on Instagram recently, more and more millions every single day. So therefore your content is starting, your followers are not starting to see your own content organically. Well, as you might recall, this is Facebook's playbook. Starting back in 2009, they introduced the algorithm, as we know it today, and have kept changing ever since. They created brand pages. They added business-friendly features to the to your brand page. Then organic reach started to shrink. It started to shrink dramatically. And it's now nearly impossible to reach your own audience. Well, this is where Instagram's at. Just a few short years later, they introduced the algorithm. They introduced business pages. They've added more business-friendly features, like e-commerce, to make it more appealing to switch. And now their organic reach is starting to change and starting to shrink. So what does that mean? That means basically that it's going to be a lot tougher in the near future, especially if you have a business page, to start reaching your own following. And that's where ads come into play. Now, as we talked before, Instagram has always been kind of an impressions-based brand awareness platform, at least originally. While on the opposite end of the spectrum, Google is much more ads and intent-based. But as we talk about, one of the big questions I always get is, should you repurpose that same content on Facebook as you do on Instagram? The short version is you usually have to tweak it because you just look at the basics of the placement. You're not always having the same exact, some of the content is missing. You see on here, on Instagram versus Facebook, you don't see the main call to action even on the mobile side on the Instagram posts. Some of the content, some of the pieces are missing. And it also has a little bit different look and feel on top of just the design constraints. There are two different spots to post on Instagram, the news feed and stories is obviously the most recent. And as the news feed option goes, you have single image, carousel, videos, and slideshows, so you have a lot of options. Even bigger, if you were to do news feed, you can expand that into Canvas. So as you look at this, you can generate templates, and Facebook's beginning making this a lot easier to use. Canvas actually launched a couple years ago, and very few publishers and brands used it because it's very complicated to put together. Facebook is making that a lot simpler to use. If you use Stories, you have just a few options there. You have single image and single video. And if you compare Instagram Stories to Snapchat, well, it really wasn't much of a contest once Instagram actually came onto the fold. Just, 3 months, it surpassed Snapchat in terms of daily active users. So a couple tips, the 7 tips to help you hopefully master Instagram ads and get you going on down the right path. First, Instagram, no surprise here, as we mentioned before, is aspirational and it's creative. It's all about the soft sell. You see brands on here, they're doing it very, very well. Away, they sell luggage. Not a sexy thing to talk about, luggage, but they did it in a way where they have some beautiful images. Casper, same thing, beds. I mean, everyone, of course, loves to sleep, but not the sexiest thing to talk about on social media. I do see the common threads of animals. I love animals and puppies. They're great. But they have beautiful photography and images on here. HelloFresh, as a person who's been terrible at cooking, my girlfriend now loves the fact that I use HelloFresh often because I cook all the time now. But they have beautiful images that they showcase their product. Again, aspirational, very creative. Well, your Instagram ads should be a natural extension of your feed. It shouldn't feel out of place when you scroll through the Instagram, especially the news feed. It shouldn't feel out of place. If it does, kind of twofold, it could stick out in a good way, but oftentimes it sticks out in a very bad way on top of it. Any one of these pictures could turn into an ad. Now, where should I get ideas for content and for ads? This plays into stories as well as feed, and especially in the story side. You see here, you see a guide for holidays. How do you stay relevant in the stories when you're doing ads and building content out to get people back to your site? You talk about business happenings. You can throw in the wacky holidays. Social Native talked earlier about Sandwich Day for Coca-Cola. That's still a thing. Media dates, local and national events, seasonal in this case, as well as any trending topics that are happening. Probably a little bit tougher to play into that trending topic, especially if it's a spontaneous topic, but play into the seasonal aspect, and you can go especially in stories, you can get people to do that call to action down at the bottom. As a side note, we talked a little bit earlier about that one link on Instagram, usually in your bio. If you are a business page that has over 10,000 followers, that's the threshold to start creating calls to action in your organic Instagram stories. If you do use stories quite a bit, if you are close to that 10,000 mark, try to grind your way to get there so that you can start creating calls to action, start making Instagram a higher ROI for your business. But no matter what you post, though, remember you're always competing with puppies and babies, or even worse, puppies and babies together. I love the guy on the left. That's my favorite one. Now, in terms of engagement overall, and it's still somewhat true for Instagram ads as well, the bigger the better. That image at the top, or image, excuse me, in the middle, has the most visual real estate as you're scrolling. So as you look at ads and ad constraints, try to think, how can I leverage the vertical size as big as possible versus something that is on the left has the lowest amount of engagement due to the fact that you scroll by a lot quicker. Now, any photography tips? Yes, there are several. Now, you've seen the flat lay before. That's the basic one. That's the one everyone loves. That's the one that if you ever seen a food blogger, they'll put food on the table and stand up on a chair or potentially the table just to get the best picture and they look absolutely ridiculous, but it works. Well, there are also several other photography styles that you can associate with. Alternate method number one, the messy pile. You keep the background simple. You can pick a theme and think about the negative space in it. Or the selfie stack, one of my favorites. I love the use of the hand. The background can be simple or colored. It can show all the related products to your brand, so you're not just showcasing your brand, but the extensions of it and how it incorporates with the rest of a person's demographic. A single product focus. You see this a lot with ads, as you might imagine, as well as e-commerce, but showcasing that Instagram style photography while focusing on a particular product as well. A personal feature, images with a face get a lot of engagement. Even if you look at someone, especially a blogger's feed, a food blogger in particular, if you ever if they ever showcase their image in it or showcase kind of behind the scenes, it's almost guaranteed to be one of the top engaged photos on their feed because people like to see that personal brand and personal touch to it. And in mass, now this can be flat lay. This could be great for a product rollout or a feature. But in mass is a great way to showcase your photography and showcase your Instagram ad as well. Now, building the story, as we go to Instagram stories, building the story is critical and crucial if you're trying to tell it. With Tidespin, we had to introduce a brand new concept into the ecosystem. People were outsourcing several things, but they weren't necessarily outsourcing their laundry yet. It's a concept that a lot of people haven't even thought of before. So we had to tell a story. I could tell you about it and take you 20 seconds, but I had to get a story across on digitally that could be very confusing. Sometimes takes ad after ad after ad. So whether it was carousel or building a story within Instagram stories, we had to flesh that out effectively. So a few examples. Do-it-yourself crafts. You can see the progression throughout to build kind of the final product and, of course, the call to action there as well. One-liners and a consistent call to action. Make sure you have that underneath. And you see this brand here. Showcases the different sleeping bags. Again, e-commerce that you can take. You can scroll up and shop. Ad espresso, even for B2B companies. You can leverage Instagram stories to showcase great stats, case studies that come along with your product. And you can build a story, and this is a couple slides, and you can build a story throughout and have a lot of fun with it. Now, these are images put into a very small, short video. So it's image after image after image. And it gets you, and it actually highlights the call to action in the video itself. So all these are quick messages, it's within 12 to 15 seconds. Or you can do kind of a simple, fun video. I'm kind of confused a little bit of what Pier 1 was trying to get across, that your flower pot can turn into a kind of a soup container as well. It's just a versatile item, but you kind of get it. It showcases something a little bit different, a little weird. Now, the great thing about video, if you aren't aware, is that the 20% rule on photography, on the text and the text overlays, does not apply to video. So this is huge for marketers in the workaround. I see ads all the time for Make Space. You may have seen this as well. I don't know if they're just targeting me. But it's a simple photo, but they're showcasing it as a video, and the photo doesn't move, or it scrolls up and down for 20 to 30 seconds, however long on Facebook especially. And so even if you're just doing photography, you can turn that photo into a video, and you can accomplish the same thing, and that 20% of text, again, does not apply. Now, video can be intimidating. With Tidespin, several companies in the past, especially if you're an SMB, you don't have a large budget, and it sometimes can take a large budget to do video effectively. But here are a couple spots that Biteable is one of my favorites. This is one of their sample videos that you can create, and they have a few free elements to it, but it's also very cheap to produce videos. And they have templates already in place. So if you just see this, is it moving? Might be buffering, okay. Something like this, if you were to do a custom, would cost you thousands of dollars to create. I would have no idea how to do this as a marketer. I would need someone a lot smarter than me to do it. But if you use services like Biteable or Wave Video, you can start creating these professional looking videos, whether it's animated or something else entirely. They have so many different templates to use that you can create video on the spot within a matter of minutes. So don't be constrained by video if that's something that's intimidating you now. Now, the other aspect of it, there we go. Other video apps. If you're just using your phone, if you're trying to do something on the fly, two video apps that I've used Cameo before. I've also, Magisto, I've also heard recommend to me as well. So camera apps and video apps on your phone that you can use. So even if you're not going back to your desktop, you can create videos really easily. Now, the other aspect of that is copyrighted music. And if you want something taken down quickly, even on Instagram, that's the way to do it, is use copyrighted music, whether on the video or in the background of your video. So a couple sites that will give you free copyrighted music or for cheap spend. A few of these, you can take a picture. Epidemic Sounds is one that I've used before in the past, as well as royalty-free music productions. All of these can be taken place, even if you're just doing a vlog or a personal brand. You can use these, whether free or just cost you a couple bucks. Now, video as well. We talked about video, but way to leverage Instagram, especially stories, is going to be the vertical video. How do you leverage this in a unique way? You see them using all the entire heights of the video here. Up and down, it cut off in the middle. Some creative examples. And then you see the Instagram story, Instagram video, with the video attached to some of the graphics and things you can implement in Instagram as well, kind of in a very creative way. So tip number six, use influencers. So influencers are obviously huge on the organic side, but you can also use it on the paid side. A lot of brands are using it. As I said, it isn't just for organic posts. Stone Brewing, there's a band, a punk band. I'm blanking on the name, actually, because I'm not a big punk guy. But a punk band that's are huge fans of Stone Brewing. They took this photo organically and posted on their organic feed, but then they can use it and boost it as an ad as well. A few other examples. Maybe you're a large brand, and you can use Matthew McConaughey as he does whatever he's doing, exactly. So obviously, you don't need celebrities to do it, but celebrities don't hurt. Now, what are a few tools they can use to get in front of influencers? Social Native spoke a bit earlier, and that's something I'll actually check out even more. Another one you can use is The Tribe, leverage influencer tools, where you can reach out to them, say, hey, can you put some content together? And what they do is then you select which ones you want, they push it out there, and then with the dashboard, you can see which ones are the highest performing. And then you can take that content and put it straight into your ads. So again, getting content, whether through influencers or UGC, to use for your ads as well. Then analytics. So how do you know how your Instagram ads are doing versus just the industry overall? It's another good slide to take a photo of. Kind of the benchmarks for Instagram. This is from AdStage, who compared millions of different accounts. The CPM, $10, $10.14. You see CPC there, about 2.5. And click-through rate, you notice, is pretty darn low. I'll show how that compares to everything else. So it's still, at least at this point, and this is for newsfeed, not necessarily for stories, at least at this point, Instagram's still showing that this is a CPM brand awareness platform. If you're trying to use Instagram ads to drive clicks to install, driving clicks to your website, it may not be the best platform yet. For Tidespin, we'd had a lot of our campaigns focused on mobile app install. And we saw through our metrics that still the Facebook mobile feed and mobile placement was a better spot for us for install. But we can leverage Instagram ads to create an audience for us through brand awareness campaigns and then retarget that audience on Facebook mobile. So therefore, we can drive that cost per click down instead of just using Instagram for it. Now, how does that compare to benchmarks on the other platforms? You see that the CPM is relatively flat versus Facebook, just a little bit below. The cost per click is one of the highest on there because the click-through rate is a lot lower. But one important note that you gotta take these with a grain of salt, because no matter what, you see that, yeah, Twitter costs are, for the most part, a lot lower, but for us, at least from my experience, Twitter does not generate the ROI that other networks do. Or Google. Google's CPM is huge compared to the social networks, but you see that click-through rate dominates everything else. That's an intent-based platform. That's why it's costing you more, is because people are actually doing an action based off of that. But again, so you see where the lowest costs are. But again, be careful, because these are only giving you that top funnel numbers. How are people getting to your site? Are they going to the app store to download the app? But how do you look at the full conversion ROI? And last year I talked about this. You gotta look at the conversion numbers from once they actually get to your site, do they actually then convert? Because it starts putting these numbers in perspective. So you may see that Google does cost the most, but also gives you the highest ROI. Twitter may cost the least, but actually it's negative ROI because it's costing us more to spend than actually generates back into the app or the website or the e-commerce as well. So be very careful as you look at these numbers initially. Let's go back to the slide right here, because these only tell part of the story and only half of the story. So let me jump forward. So any tools I should know about? Some of the tools I recommend on Instagram overall. You see a few different ones. Repost is not kind of outdated at this point, because now they're slowly rolling it out. But you'll soon be able to share anybody's feed. So it's not a naturally viral platform. You should be able to send everybody's newsfeed post into your story. So great way to share UGC, great way to share influencing posts and aspirational posts that kind of tie into your brand. If it hasn't rolled out for you yet, it's coming over the next couple weeks. They're actually hidden in your settings now, is the ability to toggle whether you give the ability for anyone to basically share your content on their Instagram story. So take a look at that. Canva, if you aren't a graphic designer, Canva is a great place to do it. And almost anyone can use Canva for free or low cost. Swipeable in the top right. It's an app now that you can upload several pictures at once and swipe left to right. You can upload basically a panorama and it cuts it up for you. So when it does upload to Instagram, all you do is swipe left to right on that panorama. You might have seen it before. And if you're curious, when to post is actually a great service that helps you do that. If you don't have a business profile account, you can get those analytics in there. But if you don't have that, when to post is a great app and service to find that out. One of the main websites I use all the time, actually, on a weekly basis, is socialmediatoday.com. If you don't look at that, I actually prefer that over, say, Social Media Examiner, because it keeps you updated on all the news as well as best practices. That, again, was socialmediatoday.com. So kind of just to wrap it up, Instagram ads are great for brand recognition and soon to be more. So Instagram is becoming much more business-friendly. E-commerce has been huge over the past, a huge element and a huge addition over the past few months. In November, it started with its Spotify integration, and now more and more platforms are starting to be able to integrate seamlessly into Instagram. But the biggest thing is have consistency with your brand. Take a look at what you're posting on your feed and showcase consistency, because there shouldn't be really much of a difference between your ad and your regular content. And utilize stories a bit differently. I showed you a few different stories examples. So you know it's much more that raw footage, that behind the scenes, kind of creative ways to showcase your brand and do that call to action. And you don't need to be a video expert. Don't let video intimidate you. Use services like Biteable to start showcasing video, because that's when the CPM starts going down quite a bit. And again, if you want these slides, frontrowinteractive.com/Instagram ads, as well as a few other best practices you can get on there as well. And that's open up for questions.
Thank you. I was just downloading Swipeable, so I got it now because I took a panorama yesterday. So
there you go.
Of me taking a selfie.
Perfect. No. You did a panorama of you taking a selfie?
No, I'm just kidding. I haven't figured that out yet. Good, we got a question over here. We have about 10 minutes, so we have enough time for a few questions.
My question is, what are your thoughts on using Instagram as like a talent acquisition platform?
Great, good question. So I get this a lot just on Instagram overall, because especially B2B companies, it's not software companies, not the sexiest thing to put out on Instagram. It's not travel, it's not food, it's not that. So a lot of different companies use Instagram a unique way. Talent acquisition is huge, especially if you're a startup in Chicago, I see that quite a bit. So showcasing that and showcasing your company culture, using Instagram and Instagram story in fun ways, that's a great way to use it. So yeah, it's becoming a lot more popular, especially if you're targeting and you're targeting college grads, or if you're a younger startup that's trying to target talent that way, great spot to do it.
How do you recommend collecting data on Instagram? Like right now, it's a pretty manual process for mm-hmm. us, and it's mobile only, so I didn't know if you had any tips or tricks, because that's been a major.
Yeah, that's a good question. For me and from my experience, it's that somewhat manual process. There are ways to work around it. I mean, through Facebook's marketplace and some tools that integrate with that. AdEspresso is one that I use for Facebook and Instagram ads. That's a great way to kind of optimize your posts and just showcase it a little bit easier. But for the most part, IconoSquare is another tool that I use, or I have used in the past. But the business profile right now does a pretty darn good job. Now it's still manual, but it at least gives you a lot of insights to when to post, where your customer base is coming from. But also start looking at, on Instagram ads, you can or Facebook ads overall, you can do an ad in custom audience set based off of who interacts with your business profile. So that'll give you some demographic data as you build that out and you say, okay, I want to target this custom audience and then I want to segment against it. You can start seeing who's actually interacting with your business profile as well in the Facebook ad marketplace. Yeah, it's a good question. From my experience, I don't have the best answer for that. If someone does, if someone has a tool out there they use, feel free to shout it out.
Hi. Do you have any recommendations for how long you should run your ads for and budget? And I understand everyone here, we would all have different budgets. Yeah. But for example, I work for a home decor and furniture company, mm-hmm. and we will run like brand awareness ads for, right now we're testing like 7 days straight, $1,000 a day, or sometimes we'll test $500 a day for 7 days. We find that the performance starts tapering off by about 7 days. Mm-hmm. But at this conference, I've heard some people suggest that that's too short. But I mean, obviously, you know, we're looking at our data and seeing. But
yeah, so it really depends on your budget, on your audience size. The two things to look at is one, that kind of budget to audience size ratio. One of the easy tools, just to give you a rough estimate, is when you're looking on Facebook and putting that spend in, when you look at your audience size and gives you that estimate and that time length, it's the main metric you want to look at is going to be frequency. At the end, because normally after, and it's a little bit different per industry, but we notice for us, after 2.5 to 3 frequency number, is that ad spend starting to go up dramatically. And that's the number you gotta look at, because that frequency number is gonna carry across no matter if you're doing a large campaign or a small campaign with a smaller audience. It's that frequency number. Because at a certain point, and it's a little bit different for each brand, at a certain point it'll start to taper off. And you can actually do some automated practices in Facebook to say once it reaches the frequency of 3 or 5, it'll automatically cut off. And so that's when you can start automating that in and then knowing, hey, I need to put in new creative or switch the ad set.
Any other questions? Yep. More over here.
So thinking about that 75% say that they take action, but it's not really a click-friendly platform, does that mean that they would come in as direct mostly? And if that's the case, how do you tie that back to your conversion?
Yeah, good question. So that's the tricky part about kind of Instagram analytics and some of the analytics overall. Because if you look at Google Analytics, it can help track the flow, but Instagram just gives you that social media, and Instagram isn't the best way to showcase they went from Instagram, then they went direct, or they saw an email, or whatever that is. So it is pretty tricky. From what we did at Tidespin is we did an automated email part of our onboarding process. And what we had is once you downloaded the app and you placed an order, we send you an email directly right after that gave us a lot of information about your demos, where you heard about us, et cetera. And we started using that kind of just survey data to showcase how effective, whether it's Instagram or just channels overall, were for it. So it gave us a good amount of data because there is that gap that we found that we couldn't find out. So we used that data to help influence. You did see us on Instagram, so our ad campaigns are paying off. And our open rate for that was almost, our survey rate was about 50% of people actually filling it out. So it was really high quality data that we used.
Let's hear for Adam. Thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.